Hello, I'm Jason Elkins with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Inspector General. I'm here with Rich Jones, who is a program analyst with the OIG's Office of Program Evaluation. Today we're discussing a new OIG report about air emissions from animal feeding operations. This comes more than 7 years after an industry study was completed that the EPA promised to use to improve emission estimating. Thanks for joining me, Rich.
Thank you, Jason.
What are animal feeding operations?
Animal feeding operations, or AFOs as we call them, are agriculture operations where animals are kept and raised in confined areas.
And your report deals with the air emissions from AFOs.
That's right.
Okay, I'm thinking farm animals and barns.
Yes, a barn is a common source of AFO air emissions.
Are there others?
Yes, AFOs can have many sources of air emissions, including houses, feedlots, pits, lagoons, basins, and manure spray fields.
Do I dare ask, what is a manure spray field?
Yeah, this is an agricultural field or cropland where manure from lagoons or other areas of the AFO is sprayed to fertilize the crops.
Okay. So what is the concern with air emissions from these operations?
AFOs can potentially emit air pollutants in high enough quantities to subject these facilities to Clean Air Act and other statutory requirements.
For our listeners unfamiliar with the Clean Air Act, it is the federal law that regulates air emissions and authorizes the EPA to establish air quality standards to protect the public and to regulate emissions of hazardous air pollutants. Now back to AFOs. Rich, how many are out there?
There are about 450,000 AFOs nationwide, even though the majority of these are small operations with fewer than 300 animals. The EPA has estimated there are more than 18,000 large AFOs that may raise thousands of animals.
I assume large AFOs are of most concern.
Yes, Jason. For more than two decades, movements to improve profitability within the agriculture industry have resulted in larger AFO facilities that are often geographically concentrated. As facility size has increased and greater numbers of animals are housed in confined spaces, concerns have arisen regarding these facilities' impacts on the environment and public health.
What kind of impacts are we talking about?
Well, external studies we looked at showed that residential property values were reduced by an average of almost 23% within 1.25 miles from a large swine AFO. The studies also reported that living in close proximity to large swine AFOs may result in impaired mental health and negative mood states, such as tension, depression, and anger.
That would explain the reduction in property values.
Yeah. And the studies show that the closer children's schools are located to the large AFO, the greater the risk of asthma symptoms.
Wow, this has to be concerning for folks living near an AFO.
Some communities have multiple AFOs nearby. For example, several counties in eastern North Carolina have the largest concentration of swine AFOs in the United States. Some studies have raised concerns that lower-income and minority communities are disproportionately impacted by air emissions from AFOs. Studies conducted in North Carolina found that residents living near swine AFOs were disproportionately low-income people of color. Air pollution from these AFOs is associated with potential health impacts, as well as reduced quality of life due to declining property values, I mentioned, and then persistent odors.
That, quite literally, stinks. These studies suggest the AFO air emissions issue is not new, and your report refers to another study completed 7 years ago. Can you tell us about that?
Sure, Jason. A lack of reliable methods for estimating AFO air emissions prevented the EPA, along with state and local agencies, from determining whether these operations are subject to Clean Air Act and other statutes. So in 2005, the EPA and the animal feeding operations industry agreed to address this challenge. The industry funded the National Air Emissions Monitoring Study, which the EPA was supposed to use to develop improved emission estimating methodologies for the industry. The monitoring was completed more than 7 years ago at a cost of about $15 million. The EPA had originally expected the study to be completed in 2007, and the agency would have begun publishing methodologies in 2009. But our evaluation determined that the EPA still has not finalized any emission estimating methodologies for animal feeding operations.
What's caused the delay in developing these methodologies?
Well, it's a few things. Limitations with the National Air Emissions Monitoring Study data, uncertainty about how to address significant feedback from the EPA Science Advisory Board, and a lack of EPA agricultural air expertise and committed resources. The EPA recently hired new staff to work on emission estimating methodologies development, but hasn't yet finalized its work plan or established timeframes to finish the methodologies. Until the agency develops sound methods to estimate emissions, it cannot reliably determine whether animal feeding operations comply with applicable Clean Air Act requirements.
What did you recommend the EPA do to remedy this holdup?
We recommended that the EPA conduct systematic planning for future development of emission estimating methodologies. And if the EPA determines that it cannot develop certain methodologies, it should end those enforcement protections. For the methodologies that can be developed, the EPA should establish public milestones for issuing the draft methodologies.
Did the EPA agree with your recommendations?
Yes, they did. The EPA agreed with our recommendations and proposed acceptable planned corrective actions.
Good. That's our time, Rich. Thanks for sharing your insight. To read this report and other Office of Inspector General work, please visit our website at www.epa.gov/OIG. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at EPAOIG.